Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Gino Geraci. So glad you could join me. My guest is Pastor Brian Wolfmuller. He is the pastor of Hope Lutheran Church, and I really like this. On their bulletin, they cite Galatians chapter 5, verse 5, "For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." And if you'd like more information about Hope Lutheran Church, you can call 303-364-7416, or you can go to their website at www.hope-aurora.org. Again, that's Pastor Brian Wolfmuller, and the address online is www.hope-aurora.org. And Brian, we've been talking about this day in history, October 31st, which leads to the tacking on the wall of the Wittenberg door. We go into the future with Luther as he begins to explore this whole issue of salvation by faith alone and grace alone, even though he wouldn't use that kind of terminology. When he writes about this discovery of grace, if we could bring, and again, I don't want to unfairly put words into Luther's mouth that aren't either culturally or theologically consistent with what history tells us, but if we could bring Luther to the table and I were to ask him the question, Dr. Luther, what is the gospel? What do you suppose he might say based on your understanding of his own writings and as a Lutheran pastor?
Perhaps very simply, Luther would say the gospel is the promise of the forgiveness of sins for Christ's sake. Now, perhaps the most important word in that definition is the word promise, that the gospel comes to us in God's word, in his speaking to us of forgiveness. And the forgiveness is the taking away of all of our sins and the giving of Christ's own righteousness.
So, and would he say that the speaking of that word is fairly and appropriately represented in the historical documents that we call the New Testament?
Oh, exactly. And not just the New Testament, but the Old Testament,
sure,
as well. In fact, it traced the entire scriptures. This is what they're speaking of, Jesus on the cross for sinners. That, in fact, take verses like John 5, where Jesus is disputing with the Pharisees, and he says, "You search the scriptures, thinking that in them you have life, not knowing that they testify of me." And so Luther will with Jesus' instruction, just like the church has always done, will search Old and New Testament alike and find there the forgiveness of sins, the declaration of the forgiveness of sins. And this is essentially what the gospel is, that good news. That's what gospel means, good news. The good news that the Lord has not looked on us because of our sinfulness, because of who we are as sinners, but he looks on us because of Christ and his sacrifice for us. And because of Jesus' death on the cross, now we are spared God's wrath and given his favor, his mercy.
So, even in both Roman Catholic traditions and in Protestant traditions, if we were to ask Catholics or Protestants for that matter, well, what's this Reformation all about? What's the dispute? Even Protestants seem to say this is a dispute about authority and whether or not there is a papal authority or there's a succession of authority, and where do we go to try to figure out who's right?
Well, that's right. In fact, that's how it seems Rome always saw the Reformation, as a question of who's in charge.
And I guess what I'm saying is that many Protestants feel exactly the same way.
That's right. That's right. But for Luther, it was not. In fact, the 1530, the Lutheran princes present the Augsburg Confession, 28 articles about what they believed. They were asked to do it, to say what they believed in the scriptures. And at the end of that, they said, if the Pope would let us preach the gospel, then we would gladly submit to his authority. So for the Lutherans, for Luther himself, it was all about Jesus and his cross and the good news of salvation.
So when Luther says, if the Pope would let us preach the gospel, we would gladly preach the gospel, the implication being he won't let us preach the gospel. The implication being Rome has another gospel.
Well, that's exactly right. In fact, in the Council of Trent, which comes, the Council of Trent happens just a year before Luther dies. It begins. They actually made anathema the Lutheran understanding of the doctrine of justification. Justification being that God imputes the righteousness of Christ to us by faith, not by works.
To your knowledge, has that anathema ever been revoked or rescinded?
No, it's been softened. But never rescinded. This it can't be rescinded, can it?
I mean, it's magisterium,
right? It's the authoritative teaching of the church. Now the modern Roman Catholic Church can hedge it a little bit and make it sound nicer, but it has not been revoked, and so it still stands. We still understand it that Rome has made anathema the pure gospel.
So you ready to take some calls?
Let's do it.
303-873-1935. The phone is ringing. You hold on, Matt. We're going to take your call as soon as we come back from this break, and I'm going to also ask Brian to give us some information. He's written a little book called A Brief History of Dr. Martin Luther. It's really a pamphlet, how you can get it. This is Gino Geraci. You're listening to Denver's Christian Station, 94.7 KRKS. We'll be right back. It's okay to call. Yeah. Go ahead, Doc.
Now, real-time traffic on Denver's Christian Station, 94.7 KRKS.
Hi, this is Bill, and I'm here with Tim Bennett from Basis Point Home Loans. Tim, what's the good word this week?
Bill, interest rates are holding at near record lows. Now is the time to turn that high-risk, adjustable-rate mortgage, that ARM, into a fixed-rate home loan with rates as low as 5.75%.
Tim, let's go to the phones.
Hello, Tim. This is Rob from Highlands Ranch, and I was wondering, is it true that mortgage brokers now have to be licensed in the state of Colorado?
Great question, Rob. Beginning January 1st of next year, all mortgage brokers must be individually licensed in the state of Colorado. Our team at Basis Point Home Loans were fully licensed on October 1st. Come January, it's going to be a violation of Colorado law to perform any activities as a mortgage broker without that license. Rob, you wouldn't go to a doctor, a lawyer, or a CPA who didn't have the proper licenses, right? Why on earth would someone trust the financing of their most valued possession, their home, to someone who wasn't properly licensed?
Call Basis Point Home Loans at 800-400-1441. That's 800-400-1441. The Colorado licensed mortgage expert.
Ever stop to think about the things you plan to do someday? The things that your busy schedule just wouldn't allow? Well, if one of those things is earning a degree, your timing couldn't be better. Colorado Christian University's College of Adult and Graduate Studies is offering a spring tuition incentive to help you earn your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree. For a limited time, CCU will pay $250 towards each of your first four classes. That's $1,000 in savings. To get started, simply register online at ccu.edu/dream by November 17th. You must meet CCU admission and enrollment requirements to qualify and begin your coursework by CCU's spring semester. Whether you choose to take courses in the classroom or online, CCU's accredited learning programs make it convenient for you to get the quality education you've been dreaming about. Learn more about CCU's education programs for adults. Come to an information meeting on Thursday, November 2nd from 6 to 8 p.m. at CCU's Denver Metro location. Call 800-44-FAITH. That's 800-44-FAITH today.
94.7 KRKS.
Your faith is important, but how important is it to your insurance company? As the leading insurer of churches, Guide One Insurance knows that you are the heart of your church. That's why they offer FaithGuard Auto and Home Insurance for churchgoers of every faith. How does FaithGuard work? If you're driving to or from a church service and your car is in an accident, they waive your deductible. That's right, no deductible. If you are hurt in that accident and suffer loss of income, they could pay your church tithes and car loan up to $750 in tithes and $3,000 toward your car loan. Does your insurance company even know what a tithe is? Plus, there are great discounts if you don't smoke or drink, and a special discount if you are a pastor, church executive, missionary, or full-time seminary student. Does your insurance company respect your faith like Guide One? For a free quote, call Gary Brunson at 303-452-5617. That's Gary Brunson at 452-5617. Guide One, insurance coverage for the faithful. Call 303-452-5617.
This is Ken Watmore with Power Players. Be sure to join me every Saturday at 9 a.m. right here on 94.7 KRKS.
Caught in the
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. My guest, Brian Wolfmuller. He's the pastor of Hope Lutheran Church. They're located at 1345 Macon Street in Aurora. We've given out the website. We want to try and take as many calls as quickly as we can. Matt, God bless you. Welcome to the program. Your question for my guest. Hi, Matt.
Hi there. I've been a guest several times. I always enjoy talking to you, Gino.
Great. Do you have a question for my guest?
I do, yeah. I just started tuning in. I'm sorry I didn't even catch your name yet. My name is Matt.
Matt, Brian Wolfmuller, nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you. I just have a couple questions for you. First of all, I've heard different things about Luther in regards to his liking or disliking of St. James' epistle. I've heard it put before that he thought that it should be thrown in the fire because it was a piece of straw. Is there any credence to that?
Yeah, Luther did say that in his introduction to the book of James. He said it's an epistle of straw. Now, I don't think he goes on to say it should be thrown into the fire, but Luther, he did translate it in his translation of the scriptures, and he would quote it and use it. But this goes back to an ancient debate in the church that has really kind of fallen out of popularity. They would, when they would talk about the books that belonged in the scriptures, the question of canonicity, and Luther was not sure that James belonged in the canon, which is true of most of the ancient church. There was they had classifications of books of the New Testament, anti-legomena and homologomena, which means. Homologomena means accepted everywhere, and anti-legomena was spotty, where it was accepted.
Accepted
or not.
Somewhere.
Right.
And remember the heart of the debate, Matt. It is faith alone or faith that is alone. And again, that goes to the heart of the issue. It is, does James preach or teach that you're saved by grace coupled with good works? And again, I think a right reading of James will reveal that both Paul and James are not. They're not opposed to one another.
No, that's right. That they're in a harmony, and we certainly have James in the scriptures. We teach from it. We say that it is apostolic and it belongs in the canon of scripture. Luther, of course, remember the Jesus and his cross was central, and he didn't think that James preached Jesus and his cross, and so that's what led to his evaluation as such. But he spoke more strongly about James than any other Lutherans, really, and it's been it is accepted as part of the canon that we have now.
And you had another quick question, right. Matt?
Yeah, I happen to be a practicing Catholic, and I'm always interested to hear, straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak, when I talk to people. And I was just wondering if you could give me a little bit of an explanation about what do you mean when you say faith alone? Because, as my understanding, God gives us the grace to do his will, but it seems like, because I believe that Luther basically talked about you're either a slave to the devil or you're a slave to God, but free will is kind of like an illusion.
Oh, yeah, he did write a book called Bondage of the Will, but go ahead. You're the guest. Answer. You're basically asking the question. Are you asking the question?
Why is Luther opposed to works? Because the church has never taught that you...
Very good question.
No, that's
Brian?
Right. And Matt, you've articulated the Catholic position very, very clearly, that God gives us grace to help do then works which are meritorious in our salvation. Luther had this radical understanding, which he learned from Paul in the scriptures, between the gospel and the law, between faith and works. So Paul, for example, can say, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness, Romans 4:5. So that works are completely taken out of the picture of justification, of the declaration of righteousness. Now, this does not mean that we do not do works. In fact, Luther, defining faith in his introduction to the book of Romans, says faith is a living, active thing, more ready to do good works than anything else. In fact, it's before it can even be directed or commanded to do good works, it's out there doing them, so that the faith gives birth to love. The Catholic position is the opposite, that love gives birth to faith, and faith is one of the virtues. So Luther takes that and reverses it. What comes first is God and his word, the declaration of our righteousness. And from that, from the heart that's freed from sin and from the fear of condemnation, now flows every kind of good work.
Matt, I guess here's what I would ask. Does faith produce works, or do works produce faith?
I would suppose that faith produces works, but if I could add one thing to that.
Sure.
All I I know is from my own personal experience. I've been a Catholic my whole life. I was baptized as an infant. I've had a, you know, I was playing in a heavy metal band for a long time, kind of away from the Lord. I had
a Catholic heavy metal band? Oh, no, a different. Oh,
no.
Oh, okay.
No, it's a very...
Because I was going to go, wow, your priest was a lot more generous than mine.
No, definitely away from the Lord. I had a kind of an adult reversion to the church. And, you know, I know in my heart, I believe in the gospel. Jesus is my personal Lord and Savior, his Catholic Church. But there are times when, you know, the old man that St. Paul talks about really doesn't want to do God's will in me, and sometimes I do fail. But does that mean I don't have...
Well, again, even using your own example, if reread Romans chapter 6, the old man and the carnal nature, reread Romans chapter 7. But for heaven's sake and for Christ's sake, read Romans chapter 8. Don't stop at 7. Make sure that Romans chapter 8, verses 1, all the way to the end of the chapter is a part of your life. Remember the beginning verse? There is therefore now no condemnation. The word condemnation in the Greek language at that point meant the judicial condemnation for guilt. It was a sentence. It's the same word that a judge, when he's adjudicating a crime and he passes sentence on the criminal. And so Paul, as a lawyer, and remember, he's a Jewish lawyer.
Right.
But he's also a Roman lawyer. He has this ability to practice law in Jewish courts, in Gentile courts, in Greek courts. And he says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Luther would talk about how we are both saint and sinner at the same time. And this is exactly what you've described, is that we're saints because we have faith. We trust in the Lord's promise and we're completely forgiven. And yet the old man still clings to us. Luther would say that we daily drown him by repentance. But then he would say the old man is a good swimmer. So we have to daily, through contrition and repentance, drown the old man and put him to death. But you see, there's a difference there. The old man is not reformed. He's not taught to live a better way. He's not coddled along so that the old man gets better and better in a progressive sense. The old man has to be drowned and die, has to be killed. And this is then what repentance is. So that we are not progressively getting better. Perhaps the old man just continues to die in us. And so our life of sanctification is one of rejoicing in the new man and the gifts of God and putting to death that old Adam.
Right. Just one more quick question for you, Dr. Brian. I was wondering if you might be able to explain what Dr. Luther would say in regards to, we talk about justification, but in the Catholic Church we also use a term, and maybe you do as Lutherans as well, called regeneration, that happens at baptism, where the divine life of the Holy Trinity is infused into the soul.
Right.
So what is what does Lutheran theology teach about regeneration, particularly in the context of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4.
All right, here's what I'll do, okay? Because we've run out of time.
Mm-hmm.
But if Brian will graciously agree to stay for a few more minutes, Kevin, I'll let him answer your question. Matt, I'll let him give you the short answer to that question, okay?
Okay.
So you hold on. We're going to come back. I'm going to give him an opportunity to talk with you and to you, Kevin. And then I want to give him a brief opportunity, if you want to use that term, to describe a brief history of Dr. Martin Luther and where you can get it. This is Gino Geraci. Hit the preset button. This is where you want to come back to, right here on Denver's Christian Station, 94.7 KRKS. I'll be right back.